بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله نستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه الصلاة والسلام. قال تعالى في القرآن المجيد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، واستغفر الله إن الله غفور رحيم. قال رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه الصلاة والسلام: وآتوا الزكاة، وكما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام: صدق الله وصدق الرسول، ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله. Respected listeners, we are discussing lesson 75 of Wisdom of Actions, and today in this lesson we are going to commence with the secrets of Zakat. We will broadly outline secrets of Zakat, and inshallah, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps us alive, then at a much later stage we will discuss in detail the secrets of Zakah. When the word Zakah is mentioned, it does not only refer to Farz Zakah, but to all forms of spending for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember that basically everything has to be done for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether that action is small or huge, it has to be done for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether it be salat, zakat, hajj, sawm, fasting, whether it is charity, whether it is sadaqah, whether it is nafil salat, nafil hajj, nafil umrah, whether it is jihad, whether it is jihad which is farz kifaya, whether it is jihad which is compulsory upon every individual or optional upon any person, whether it is i'tikaf, whether it is taraweeh, whatever the action is, it has to be basically for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything that we do, the zikr of Allah, tilawat, ruku, sujood, has to be for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to understand this point very carefully, because the groups, deviated groups, come about and now say that they are making the ibadat of Allah for exercise purposes. They say, no, salat is an exercise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has instituted, they say, salat as an exercise, as a training course for jihad. This going up, going into ruku, two sijdas, all this is body movement, and this is like military training, this is like military exercise, so that we prepare ourselves for jihad. But this is not the reason why salat has been instituted as an ibadat. It has been instituted for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, now you have got some scientific research showing you that salat is good for the body, it is good for the physique, it is a good form of exercise. But the purpose, if a person says that the purpose of salat and hajj, the movement, etc., is a training course for jihad, that is erroneous, fallacious, completely wrong. Everything is for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first and foremost. The side scientific benefits that result, for example, we've got now scientific benefits of the sunnah. There's an entire 3-volume book written on science and sunnah, taking every sunnah and looking at it from a scientific beneficial point of view, explaining the benefits, for example, the raising of the trousers above the ankle, the miswak and all those things, wearing of the hat, the scientific benefit of it. Now, we do not deny this, but this is not the purpose. Understand, one is a subsidiary benefit that results from following the sunnah, which is not the aim and object and purpose of the sunnah. The aim and object and purpose of the faraiz, wajibat and sunnah, ibadat, etc., is for the sole pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this we must understand fully, otherwise we are going to miss the point. We are going to become deviated, and we are going to now regard all our ibadat as military movements, military exercise, and unfortunately sending out a completely wrong signal. Continuing, the word zakat is used to refer to all of the charities because it is the best form of charity. The literal meaning of zakat is to cleanse, meaning to purify, to purge. And it has this name because spending in charity for the pleasure of Allah cleanses both the wealth being spent as well as the person spending it. So there is immediately twofold benefit. By giving zakat, you get the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the wealth becomes clean, and the person spending that wealth becomes clean. When a person gives, for example, 2.5% of his wealth out in zakat, then the remaining portion now, alhamdulillah, becomes pure, clean, purged, wholesome, full of barakah. And when a person gives out 2.5%, then that wealth becomes pure, remaining wealth becomes pure, and the person himself becomes pure. Let alone all the other benefits which we are going to enumerate that take place because of this magnanimous spending. Remember that the wealth requires cleansing. Not only our heart, our mind, our body, our blood, our clothing, our utensils, our house, our merchandise, but our wealth, the obtained wealth requires purging, cleansing, purification. So just like you have, for example, for water pumps, and then you have purification pumps to cleanse the water before it reaches your taps, then you have this zakat to clean up our wealth, to purify it and purge it, and alhamdulillah, we have a clean, we have pure, wholesome wealth. When the word zakat is mentioned in the verses of Quran, which were revealed in Mecca, it refers to charity given to the poor, because the technical zakat was made farz only in 2 AH. Understand here that, for example, there was salat also in Makkatul Mukarramah, but it was, as Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha says, that we should make salat in Makkatul Mukarramah like how you make salat of a musafir, meaning 2 for Zohr, 2 for Asr, and 2 for Isha, and 3 for Maghrib, and 2 for Fajr. In Madinatul Munawwara, the farziyat, official farziyat, and the completion and perfection of salat performance came about. The rules and laws and regulations pertaining to Aqeed, belief in Tawheed, Risalat, Akhirat, Malaika, accountability, judgment, all that came in Makkatul Mukarrama. So over 97 surahs came down in Makkatul Mukarrama, and remaining ahkamat, laws, rules, regulations, commandments came down in Madinatul Munawwara. So the obligatory nature of zakat came in Madinatul Munawwara, Hajj Madinatul Munawwara, and Siyam fasting obligation came in Madinatul Munawwara. The jihad obligation came in Madinatul Munawwara. But charity was encouraged, nafil charity, optional charity in Makkatul Mukarrama. So when the word zakat is used in a ayat or verse in Makkatul Mukarrama, revealed one, then that refers to optional zakat, not, it does not refer to the obligatory nature of zakat, as you and I know this word zakat to mean. Now spending in the path of Allah Ta'ala is necessary for the following six reasons. We will see how many we can cover in this lesson 75, and then we will continue. So spending, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to do this so that we can benefit. How do we benefit? And what are the reasons why we must spend in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal? Number one, to alleviate the need of the improvised. When a needy person, either verbally or in behavior, begs Allah Azza wa Jal to fulfill a need of his, he is then knocking at the door of Allah's generosity. Allah then inspires the heart of some kind soul to fulfill this need for the poor person. When he responds to this inspiration, Allah becomes pleased with him and surrounds him with his mercy and blessings. So first of all, just like how we beg from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then those who are needy and those who are improvised and those who are in dire straits, and those who need wealth and clothing and shelter and food, the necessities of life, and they do not have it, they obviously call to Allah, pray to Allah, plead to Allah, focus on Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then, out of his sheer mercy, inspires some person that give charity, be generous and hospitable, so that a certain need of a person can be fulfilled. And when this person, he is inspired by Allah, then he goes out and he gives, he helps, he aids, he supports. And when he responds to the call of Allah, then he envelops himself, steeps himself into the mercy of Allah. Remember that we should not be proud, arrogant, that we are giving out charity. That, remember, this is a trust from Allah. The goods, the merchandise, the wealth is a trust from Allah. Just like a person of knowledge, he should not be proud of his knowledge or arrogant of his knowledge. Why? Because this is a blessing from Allah, and regard it as a blessing. And then he'll be able to impart with sincerity and devotion. These days you will find many wealthy and many knowledgeable people. First of all, let us talk about the knowledgeable. You'll find many knowledgeable people. They have got loads of knowledge, but the element of arrogance and pride has stepped in. As a result, the people talk and talk, but no effect. They can lecture hours on end, quote forward, backward, in, out, no effect. And they can entertain, but not educate. They can thrill the crowds, but no change takes place. You hear them on the radios. On every so-called Islamic radio station, you hear them. Blurring away, and performing, and You can, by listening to them, you can see the smacks of pride and arrogance, but no effect on the listeners. You'll find people going and getting entertained by the so-called speakers and orators. But these days, unfortunately, most of the speakers and orators, they have got good knowledge, vast knowledge, deep knowledge, but lack of sincerity and devotion, lack of doing things for the pleasure of Allah. The result is that there is no effect on the listeners. And there is very little change taking place, because if you look at it, the amount of listening per head, per minute, per hour is done in this age, then we're supposed to have good Muslims, pious Muslims, righteous Muslims walking around. Because there are so many radio stations and they are broadcasting speeches upon speeches, bayans upon bayans, lectures upon lectures. But do we really see any effect? Unfortunately, we do not see any effect. Proper effect we do not see. The result is where we started, we are still in the same place. But the cause is, it is people like us who are talking. Lack of sincerity and devotion and vastness of knowledge may be in its place, but pride, arrogance steps in and we have no effect on the listeners. How sad it is. Similarly, the wealthy. There is tons of money being spent, alhamdulillah, but we do not see proper constructive results. Why? Because people are giving it out of, unfortunately, not all, but many, out of pride, for name, for gain, for fame, and for glory, and for seat, and for power, and to become known. That is why the hadith strikes that on the day of judgment, the knowledgeable one will be called, the qari will be called, and the doer of good actions will be called, and the one who went out in jihad will be called, and their sincerity will be questioned, and because they did it for fame and for name, they will be sent headlong into Jahannam, and it will be stated, the name you wanted, you got it, the fame you wanted, you got it. Unfortunately, in our age also, because of dispensation and distribution of knowledge and of wealth, because we are hankering after name, fame and glory and market share, no proper, valid, constructive results takes place. But on the other hand, on the day of judgment, what is going to happen, we have to be very fearful. So, by giving out the charity, we, alhamdulillah, we reform ourselves and we reform our wealth and we have our aqidah correct. Shah Waliullah Delhi Rahmatullah Alayh recounts an incident saying, a poor person once asked me for something. I felt the inspiration in my heart instructing me to give him what he wanted and promising me tremendous reward in the world and in the akhirat if I did. I then gave him and witnessed the fulfillment of the promise. I therefore personally experienced the knock of the pauper on the door of generosity, the inspiration that follows, Allah's choice of my heart to fulfill the need for him and the resultant rewards. So people who have got good hearts and pious hearts and shiny hearts like mirrors, they can actually witness that Allah is inspiring them, that give charity, that Allah is inspiring them, that be generous, that Allah is inspiring them, that be hospitable. And you will feel and you will get the barakah, the result in this world and in the akhirah. And with full yaqeen, with full conviction, one should be giving the charity so that we can draw the necessary benefits. And if we have full yaqeen, like Hazrat Rabia Basariya Rahmatullah Alayha, then when she gave something and on the door a knock was heard and 9 bread came, 9 rotis came, she said with certainty that this is not mine. The person bringing the bread said, "No, this is yours. I have been instructed to give it to you." She said, "No, this cannot be mine." So the person said, "Why are you so certain that this cannot be mine? Be yours at least." She said, "No, I gave out 1. I'm supposed to get 10. Because this is the rule of Allah. This is the principle of Allah. That you give 1, you get 10. And I've given 1, I'm expecting 10, not 9. Then he finally admitted that on the way he ate 1. Then she said, "Yes, this makes sense now. That the one, the missing one, has been accounted for. When he's accounted for, she took it." But now we should develop individually our yaqeen on that level. That when we give 1, we must get 10. Now do we have that full yaqeen? On one side we are helpers of the improvised, of the needy and the wanting. But on the other side, for our spiritual reformation, are we certain about this, that I give 1, I must get 10? And alhamdulillah, Muslims are charitable. There is not a cause on the surface of the earth which is in dire need, whether it is Muslim or non-Muslim, Muslims dip deep in the pockets and give. But we should reform ourselves. Reform ourselves in which way? That we must become givers expecting spiritual enlightenment, expecting the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, let alone the reward of the Day of Judgment, but the reward in this world also. Now we find, alhamdulillah, we are discussing the reasons for spending in the path of Allah. 1, to alleviate the need of the improvised. 2, to attract the mercy of Allah. It sometimes happens that spending in a certain avenue is specified as a cause of attracting the mercy of Allah. Whoever then spends in this avenue is showered with the mercy of Allah. We are so fortunate as Muslims that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us and not left us alone. Allah has blessed us with intelligence, Allah has blessed us with iman, Allah has blessed us with power of choice. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has shown us, has not left us in the dark. Allah has blessed us with the Quran, Allah has blessed us with the sunnah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in have practiced upon the Sharia to show us what we should do and what we should not do. So how fortunate we are that we are able to act upon the Sharia in a complete, comprehensive manner. And we are not like animals that we do what we want, when we want, how we want, without any codification of life or rules and regulation. So Allah has told us that you take your money and you put it in the right place, you'll get rewarded, you'll get felicity, you will get tranquility. But if you take your money in the wrong place, drugs, gambling, casino, horse riding, all the evil, fornication, adultery, then there'll be no barakat in your wealth, in your earnings, and there'll be no blessings in your life. But if you take it in the right place, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has shown us that this is the way of light and this is the way of darkness. Choose it. We have given you iman. We have given you intelligence and power of choice. Choose it. You choose it. Perhaps sometimes we don't see the result of it. Because of our lack of spiritual light, we don't see the benefit immediately. But if you have to just ask anybody, any person, that who is spending in the path of Allah, do you see easiness, comfort, peace, tranquility when you spend in the right place. And if you just look, cursory look at those who are involved in gambling, casino, womanizing, wine drinking, dancing, music, horse racing, lottery, all forms of gambling, you see that person on his face, you can see that person is living a life of terror and misery, discomfort, uneasiness, distress, anxiety, everything that person has got. What he hasn't got is peace of mind. He cannot even sleep, cannot walk properly, cannot talk properly. Why? Because he has been hovered by the distress factors and he is in negative territory all the time. Unfortunately, this person here, he is going towards hell headlong. And he is under the displeasure, wrath and anger of Allah. How can that person be happy or in a state of joy? But if you look at a person who is in the state of joy and happiness, is a person who takes his wealth and puts it in the right place. He's helping, aiding, supporting the wayfarer and the needy and the distressed and the one in debt. And the one who is hard-pressed, and the one who cannot make ends meet, and the one who does not have a shelter, food, clothing, he's helping these people. You see that person, on his face you can make up this person is, he is truly getting the mercy of Allah. Why? Because he's doing those actions which are attracting the mercy of Allah. And when a person does those actions which are attracting the mercy of Allah, then on his face, movement, and his behavior, personality, and character, you can make out that this person has got some sort of tranquility. Inshallah, in lesson number 76, I will continue discussing the reasons for spending the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa akhiru da'wan, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.